This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
Hey, so we're going to skip up to chapter 5. Romans chapter 4 is a story about Abraham and his faith that preceded the law. And so it was his faith that made him righteous. We're going to move on to chapter 5. And so we're going to dive into chapter 5, which some, I believe talks about some incredibly profound truths of our Christian faith. It talks about justification by faith, peace with God, and the gift of grace, and the hope that sustains us in very difficult times. So let's begin by reading the verses in chapter 5, 1 through 5. Let's start there. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Romans 5, 1 through 5. There's three things I'd like for us to really just focus on in this portion of the passage. It's called peace with God, grace to stand, and hope in suffering. And so what does it mean to have peace with God? In Romans 5, 1, and since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's inferring that there was not peace before that. And I know I can speak for my own life. I was at odds. I was an enemy of God. And I was basically at war with him. He had a plan for me. He had a desire for me, and I had a different desire and plan. And I was rebellious. But because of Jesus, we have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justification by faith. To be justified means to be declared righteous before God. And it's not based on your works, and that's what we've been reading all through Romans 1, 2, 3, 4, and now we're in 5. But remember, Romans 3, 23 says, "For all have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God, but through the faith in Jesus, we are made right with God." And that is justification by faith. Now, peace with God before our new position in justification, we were in conflict. I was in conflict. You were in conflict. And sin alienated us from him. But because of Jesus, the barrier of sin is removed. We're no longer under judgment and enslavement. I was enslaved to my own anxiety. As I look back in my life, I kind of referred that already, is I recognize how self-focused I was in my growing up years. Anybody remember your high school years, how self-focused you were? I was very self-focused. If I know Elijah might be in the house. Is Elijah in the house? He's playing hooky. No, he's downstairs. All right. What I would tell anybody in middle school and high school is, hey, nobody cares about you. They're only caring about themselves, all right? And so don't waste your time wondering what they're thinking, wondering about what he's thinking. And so, but the barrier has been removed, and we're no longer enslaved to our own wicked ways and the wrath and judgment, but we have peace, reconciled relationship with our Creator. That's amazing. That's why when I start thinking about that I was an enemy of God, but now I'm at peace with him and with the Creator of this universe, which is mind-boggling, it just makes me filled with joy that I have a restored relationship with God. When you have peace, it transforms you. And when you have this peace, this transformation happens, and it changes how we see life. Now, some of my brothers and sisters in faith I've met some, have lost focus on the joy and peace that comes in Jesus. I've seen them, they get kind of bitter and mean. I've seen some. And so I'm challenging you and challenging myself. Let's not lose focus on the incredible relationship that we have. Because of Jesus, we are at peace with God. We don't longer live under the fear of condemnation. Because in Romans 8, we're going to see later on, it says there are no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, I used to live under condemnation, and it's no fun to live that way. And it was a warped understanding of who God was. But we are free to live in the assurance of God's favor. If you don't remember anything, if you're a follower of Jesus, he loves you. He loves you no matter what, but he loves you. You are adopted into, and don't misunderstand what I mean by he loves you no matter what, okay? You are his creation, so there's value in you. But when you become a follower of Jesus, that you can have this assurance like, yes, I'm at peace. I used to be at enmity with him, but now I have peace. I used to live in anxiety, but now I have peace with God. I love being a grandfather. It's actually changed me. Now, some of you have known me before would say, I can't imagine you needing changing, but trust me, I needed a lot of changing. About 5 years ago, my precious grandson, Emmett, their son, and he is a blast. I had my grandson in my car, in my yard, and we were play acting driving. And he was doing such a good job. I was so proud of him. It's so weird because when Mason or Micah play acted driving, I would yell at them. They were doing it wrong. So, hey, if you want to test your faith, try to teach your son how to drive a stick shift car, all right? That will test your faith. And you have to go see a chiropractor afterwards. Those were some tough days. But I was with my son and my grandson, and he was in my car. It was a nice car. It was my white Ford Fusion. And it was parked, and he was play acting, and we were having a great grandfather-grandson bonding time. I had to step out. My phone rang. I stepped out of the car, and I started talking, and I stepped out above, you know, so I couldn't see what was going on. I probably was gone for about 30 seconds, but when I came back into the car, my grandson is so smart for a three-year-old. He took quarters that was in my little jar there, took quarters out, and slipped them right into the CD player. I literally thought to myself, he has got to be one of the smartest kids for his age to know to take, and I'm serious, I was thinking that. And then afterwards, like, if Micah or Mason would have done that, I would not be thinking this. I literally thought to myself, Emmett is the smartest kid ever. And so that really helped me, gave me a perspective about God. The Lord began to teach me something at that moment. I didn't spank Emmett, not that I would, and not that I could, but I didn't yank him out of the car and yelled at him or scolded him. I praised him for being smart, instinctively knowing to put round cylinders into the slot. Emmett, in his three-year-old, and I think our grandchildren experience this, they live in a world where they have favor, that peace. And it gave me a perspective of God. I just want you, hopefully, to understand that that God loves you. He's for you, right? And if he corrects you, it's not because he's angry at you, but it's because you care. He cares about you. But my grandchildren used to see it when they come into our house. They are in a world of peace. They know that this is a peaceful place for them, where they can grow and be loved. And I'm sure in your own home, my grandkids' homes as well. But what I'm trying to say is that there is something about the assurance of God when you are in relationship with him and he loves you and you know it. There is that peace that comes with it. I was not raised that way. I was raised with, like, as soon as you mess up, there was a stick that came around your backside. But the Lord helped me understand that there's some assurance. Now, we're going to get to Romans 6, so don't overread what I'm trying to say. There's some assurance that comes in the relationship with Jesus, through God, through Jesus. Sadly, as I look back, I don't think my own kids understood. They grew up with a little bit of wrath, you know, that I was growing up still. So I remember one of my boys, sadly, hopefully he doesn't remember, I took my belt out and I remember him running up the steps and trying to get a hold of his backside. So they may have lived in a different kind of world, but I was still growing up and learning to be more like Jesus. But I just want you to know, as a church, Paul is trying to tell the church in Romans that there is an assurance that comes when you have been justified by faith through Jesus. Amen? If you don't remember anything else I said, just know that if you surrendered your life to him, you are justified by faith into God. So it's a beautiful thing. Now, it says here in Romans 5:2, through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The grace to stand, access to grace. We have been justified. Not only does he forgive us, but he grants us access to his grace. So what does that mean? And grace is not a one-time event. It is an environment in which we can now live, kind of like the story I just shared with you, just a place where you get to enjoy his grace. He loves you. And one of the things that we can stand on through faith is in his grace that he loves you. He loves you so much, he wants you to thrive and find your identity in him, because that's where you're going to find the fullness of life. And we are continually empowered by God's grace. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." Paul uses the word stand, implying that grace is not something that just seasonal, but it's stable and reliable. Our relationship with Jesus, through Jesus, does not depend on our performance. Again, don't forget, we're going to be going to Romans 6, all right? But it stands on God's unwavering grace. Does that make sense? That you're standing on God's unwavering grace. So when life gets tough, and it gets tough for everybody, I don't know of anyone that doesn't have a tough life. Well, I can think of one person, but that's a sidetrack. So I'm just being funny. When life gets tough, we can stand firm, not because of our own strength, but because of the grace given to us through Jesus. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen an exoskeleton device for people that are paralyzed. Have you ever seen one? So think of grace like that. And that's not a perfect example, but it is because of grace. This exoskeleton, through faith in Jesus, allows us to stand and find our place in the kingdom of God. Grace is that thing that envelops us through faith. Grace transforms our outlook. Grace not only saves us, but transforms our perspective. It changes how you look at yourself, and it changes how you look at others. When you know you've been sustained by grace, you can live with joy. And there was a book written a long, long time ago, and the title was Christians, the Happiest People on Earth. Now, sadly, I've seen some unhappy Christians in my own relationship and friendships, but the truth of the matter is that we have this joy that comes from God, and knowing that we can stand in his grace because of faith, And because of Jesus, we've been justified. It's a beautiful book, Romans, and chapter 5 is just, to me, is just awe-inspiring as we read it. And I encourage you to reading it. So one of the most challenging, profound parts of Romans is found in verses 3 through 5. I don't know if you have your Bibles, but you could look. And Paul talks about rejoicing in suffering. It seems counterintuitive, but Paul explains he's going to show a progression of suffering brings about our lives. Paul tells us that we can rejoice in suffering because it produces what? You know, it says endurance. Trials and difficulties test our faith, but they also at the same time strengthen it. Just like a muscle grows through resistance, our spiritual endurance grows through hardship. People go through a hard time, but at the same time, they are developing this sense of endurance, and spiritual endurance grows through hardship. I pray that when you come to church, that you are encouraged, even in your time of difficulty, that you would never get a sense of judgment. We don't play that game here at Mosaic Church. We've never played that game. Like if something's bad's happening to you and over again, we try not to be like Job's friends and begin to you know, like, you know, there's sin in your life and all that. We leave those things to the Lord. Our role is to encourage you and help you and help one another. I pray that when you come to church, it's like you're running this race of endurance that's a challenge, and that you're getting a cup of water. A few years ago, Michelle and I think Natalie, I have a video of it. They ran this race, and they ran right in front of the church. And I remember a video, and I was very proud of them. But I believe there's water stations around. And I pray that our church is like a water station to you when you attend and you're part of the fellowship. I pray that it's not a hot cup of coffee while you're running this marathon. Does anybody know what I'm referencing? Okay. That's one of favorite scenes. Kramer is at a marathon. And they're supporting a friend that they knew, and the friend was winning the race, and the friend was like needing some water, and Kramer had a hot cup of coffee, I think, or a tea, and wasn't paying attention, and he leaned over to it, and that guy grabbed the hot cup of coffee and drank it and burned his mouth and all that. I pray that church is not like that, that when you come here that you're getting a cool cup of water through the presence of the Holy Spirit, through a time of worship, through that 5 minutes of intermission, and that you get to be encouraged and that you're valued, and that when you're going through the difficult times of life, that you sense his presence, and that your difficulty, we're helping you find that endurance that produces character. The Greek word here used refers to tested and proven character. Integrity that has been refined in the fire of trials. It's these moments that we become like Christ. It's these moments and during trials that I believe is the time where we can be one of the greatest testimonies to our families and friends, is that all of us, Christians, are not exempt from trials. But it is an opportunity, I believe, to be a testimony in how we go through trials. But if you're going through a trial, I want you to feel like you're loved and you're cared for and that you're appreciated. And we want to be a fellowship of giving you cool, cold water during a very tough trial run. And hope isn't just optimism. It's secure trust in God's faithfulness and his promises. Paul tells us that hope does not put us to shame, and it'll never disappoint us because it's anchored in God's love. The role of the Holy Spirit, Paul concludes this section by reminding us that God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who sustains us in suffering, reminding us that we are loved and that and that God's purposes are at work even in the most difficult circumstances. And so I want to pause there. I'm going to ask, is Joanne here? There she is. Yeah, if we can maybe have the band. It's up to you, Joe. I'll have some time of worship at the end. But I want us to be encouraged even in our times of difficulties. And a bunch of you raised your hands that right now is a time of trial and occupies your mind. It's like riding through the Rockies and you can't really experience the God's peace and blessing because of the challenges of life. And we're gonna pray for you again. I'm not gonna ask you to come to the front or anything, but we wanna pray for you again. And if you're not going through a trial, that you would be encouraged and you would understand God's love and his grace and remember that when that time comes, you can rest in his peace and his assurance that he loves you and he cares for you. Let's go ahead and close our eyes and bow our heads for a moment. Heavenly Father, we just ask, we just say thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that we can be justified through faith in Jesus Christ. We can't boast about it. We've learned that in chapters 2, 3, and 4. It's not something that we can conjure up. It's not something we tighten our belts and grit our teeth and somehow we on our own are justified. It is by faith in Christ, in Jesus, Lord, that we can find this justification. And Lord, we can find this peace that comes from that and that grace that we can stand. Lord, thank you. When I read this Romans chapter 5, I just see how much you love the church and how much you love this church and how much you love each individual in this room. Lord, I pray, God, for that you would help people who are going through this difficult time and, Lord, this valley time. Lord, that you can just flood them with your presence. Flood them with your presence. Lord, I flood them with your love and your assurance that comes with knowing Jesus. Lord, help us if we're believers, and I pray that all of us are, that we would not lose focus and begin to walk in the flesh and then allow bitterness and anger and frustration to seep in. But Lord, help peace and joy and patience to just really pour into our hearts that could only come through Jesus. Lord, we say thank you, Father. Help us to be an attentive church, to look around and care for one another. Help us to not be aware. Lord, help us to be aware. To call a brother, text a friend in our church. How are you doing? How are you doing? Lord, say thank you, Father. Lord, help us to love one another in a way that brings you the greatest glory. Help us to be that agent that you talk about, peace and grace, that we can be your agents, your ambassadors to one another. Where some people struggle with loneliness. Lord, I pray, God, that you would be there all in all, but also as a body that we can be that friend that you've called us to be. Love you, Father. Jesus, let's go ahead and stand up.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurch.com. TLH.com.